So we get right into the word, Revelation, amen? All right, this is the last one. I am thrilled and excited to bring this to a close. The past several months has been grueling for me to study every single week to make this make sense and alive to you. I hope you enjoy it as much as I have. You know what's cool is once you understand Revelation, the rest of the Bible kind of makes sense. Has anyone can attest to that? The rest of the Bible, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that's why he's, because Revelation kind of wraps everything up for you. So the purpose of Revelation was written to encourage the church, to hold on, to comfort the believers. You know, some of you might have this perception in from what you watch or people have told you, like this doom and gloom idea of the end of the world, right? God is going to come and he's going to charge it and bombs and earthquakes and fire and all these things. Earth, wind, and fire. That's a band. All kinds of stuff. But it's actually one of the most comforting books for believers. Hope-filled book of the Bible. Because the purpose of Revelation is for you to hold on despite of everything that's happening around us. So I'm going to read Revelation chapter 22. Today is the end. Heaven. What is heaven? What does it look like? And all that stuff. I hope you, I need your participation today. There's going to be some kind of reciprocal reading or shouting. So make sure you look for those cues. All right. So Revelation 22, you're going to remain seated. We're going to read it out loud because at the beginning of Revelation, it says, blessed are those who read these words out loud. So we've been reading the entire book of Revelation out loud somewhere, somehow in our service every Sunday, if you haven't noticed. Revelation 22, chapter 22, beginning verse 1. The words is on the screen if you want to follow along. If you have your Bible, turn to there. It is the very end, the last chapter of the Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit. And this number 12, as you read through the scripture, it's God's perfection. God keep telling us it's going to be perfect. It's going to be okay. Flowing from the throne of God, the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Wouldn't it be cool to have mangoes like every month? That you don't ever have to buy mangoes again, you know? Like, just go to your neighbor and pick a mango every month. And the leaves of the trees are for healings of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So that's contrary to the 666. You know, you think about, like, those who worship or get the mark of the beast 666 on the forehead. That's figurative, right, here, because you have the name of God across your forehead. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspired the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who has been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keeps the words of the scroll. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. The word of the Lord. Amen. We'll finish reading that at the end of the service. What is heaven? Is heaven somewhere I go after I die? Is there a planet somewhere outside of this solar system or our galaxy or Milky Way or apart from this earth that God has prepared just for you and I who believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Is heaven somewhere that I would just get lifted up and God takes me and he puts me there forever? What is that? What does it look like? What is heaven? Is it for real? Or what is the biblical truth about heaven? According to the Pew Research Study Center, it's kind of scary. Nearly 3/4 of U.S. adults say they believe in heaven. That's good news, right? 3/4 of U.S. adults. That means 3/4 of you in here or outside of you, because this is a special group, 3/4 of Americans, this is in America only, have not given up on the idea that there's life after death. That's pretty good. 3/4. The bad news is the same study shows that 4 in 10 U.S. adults think that people who do not believe in God will go to heaven. So people who believe in nothing, came from nothing, evolved from nothing, believes that when they die, they'll go to heaven. How did that work out? I have no idea. You came from nothing, but when you die, you get to go to heaven. I have no idea how that works out, but 4 in 10 U.S. adults believes that. Here's the worst news of it all. 13%, this just came out last year, by the way, believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. 13% of U.S. adults believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven. If 3/4 believe there's a heaven, but only 13% believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the scary thought behind that is that even Christians, professing Christians, don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's a scary thought to think about. Well, the book of Revelation revealing to us Jesus is the Savior and heaven is for real. And the book of Revelation doesn't hold back either. The book of Revelation doesn't care about our feelings, our personal agendas, our political parties, or where we are sexually. It is what it is and it says what it says. Amen? It's revealing to us that through Jesus Christ, we too wins. The book works like this. The first 65 books of the Bible, we have heaven, fall, exile, and redemption. That's the theme of the Bible. From Genesis all the way to Jude is the same theme. Heaven, we fall, we go into exile, and Jesus redeems us. Every book of the Bible leading up to Revelation has the same exact theme. And then Revelation happens. It works backwards. It begins with Jesus redeeming us, brought us back, union with God, and then a new heaven and new earth. It was just what we are talking about today. The whole premise of Revelation is to restore, restoring us back to the garden, back to God, back to perfection. And here's the best part. We know what heaven looks like. Don't be surprised by this. Sarah, beautiful violin. That, it's a glimpse of heaven. We know what heaven looks like because it described to us back in Genesis. Check this out. A couple verses on the screen. And God said, let the land, I'll walk through this with you. Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animal, each according to his kind. And God saw that it was what? Good. Animals everywhere. Do dog goes to heaven? I think you're going to see your dog one day somewhere in there. Because God said it was good. The animals I received, all kinds of livestock. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish. That's good news, Paul. Fishing, it's good, right? Fishing, it's good. Like they may over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the earth. I went fishing on Friday. Was it Friday? Me and Bogdan went. It was sitting on my little boat. We couldn't catch anything. And all of a sudden, him and I, we said, in the name of Jesus, I am ruling over you. Bite now. And within seconds, the reel went up. Boy, we got a big kingfish. It was the weirdest thing. And then we couldn't catch anything for a little bit, and we tried it again, and it worked again. And it worked for the fifth times. Every time we said it, it worked. It was the wildest thing, because we were like, hey, didn't God say we're ruling over these fish? Let's try it. And we did, and it worked. Coincidence? Oh, no, but it's kind of cool. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We would never thought that this verse would be so prevalent in our society today, huh? We never thought that this verse would be such an argument today in our society. It was good. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers. And all the men says, yeah. See, woman, God commanded us to be fruitful. Bogdan, get your hand off your wife. Come on, man. We're in church. What are you thinking? Be fruitful and multiply in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over everything, living creatures that moves on the ground. Hunting would be really good with that license, you know, in heaven. You don't need a license for that. Then God said, I give you every sea-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. All my vegetarians. The food would be really good in heaven. Genesis chapter 2 verse 19. Now the Lord has formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man. See what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So God gave us the rights to name these animals like the rhinoceros or the hippopotamus. Who came up with that idea? You're going to bring an animal up to somebody and I'm going to call it a hippopotamus. Why can't it be something simpler? One syllable, you know? Hippopotamus. What a living creature. What was named? The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the breeze of day. That is heaven, my friends. That is what God created for us. And he said it was good. And he created man and women. He said it was very good. That is the life that we were supposed to have. This earth that God created. That is heaven. So Revelation is telling us he's going to restore that back. God, us, creation, perfection. Lots of vegetables, lots of food, lots of fishing, lots of hunting without a hunting license. People strolling outside in the breeze of day, kind of like tomorrow. If you're new to Florida, you're about to experience heaven tomorrow in Florida. The weather is changing. It's going to be cool and breezy tomorrow. 75, I think. Get your snow boots out. You're going to see it. 74 degrees all the time. Heaven. People strolling outside, waving to each other. Hey, neighbor, how are you? Good morning. Do you need anything? How can I help you? You know, when I think of that scene in heaven, walking in the breeze of day, and God is there, I think about this song. Let's get up and say hi to each other real quick, huh? Let's get up and say hi to each other. Come on, seriously. Go. Come on, get up. Give me a scene of heaven here. Let's get up. Have a seat. All right, let's bring it back. What a wonderful world. Let's bring it back. That... it's what we all really want. Unfortunately, that perfect world was lost. What God said it was good, it's gone. What God has said it was very good, the perception we have, it's no longer there. And throughout the Bible, God instructions to us is to live in such a way that reflects heaven. the way he created this world. So he gave us these commandments, these rules or these regulations, these parameters. And in Exodus, he gave the nation of Israel a tablet. And this is what he said. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself in any form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them to or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. Showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold any guiltless who misuses his name. So the first three commandments, God says, I'm your God. Just remember, I'm your God. Don't worship these things that you're going to come across now. Just remember, I'm your God. And the fourth one, he says, remember the Sabbath and keeping it holy. He says, make sure you rest. Team no sleep doesn't exist. You're going to get sick. You're going to be very unhealthy when you get older. Just make sure you rest. Take time to rest. Know when to stop. Know when to check out. Know when to be a dad. Know when to turn off your computer and go home. He said, remember the Sabbath day. Oh, and by the way, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Just listen to your parents. You know, come home on time. 10:30? Yeah. 9? You shall not murder. Just don't kill anybody. Don't you get scared when you peek at someone's Bible and you see them highlighting that part? Because sometimes when people highlight that part, it's like, this is what I need to work on, you know? If someone highlights that part in the Bible, you're like, ah! You shall not steal. Don't steal anything from anybody. They work hard for it. They earned it. They spend their hard-earned money to have it. If they want to give it to you, they will. They would. But don't steal it. Don't give false testimony about your neighbors. Don't lie about them. Don't spread rumors about them. Keep it to yourself. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. That's a hard one, right? That's a tough one. Got to be careful with the friends that I have who highlight that part, right? Don't not cover your neighbor's wife, his neighbor's, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This was God's command, his laws to us. It's 10 things. That's it. God says, here are the 10 things that I want you to create heaven on earth as you live in it. And we're treating these 10 rules like an IKEA furniture instruction. Don't steal. What do you mean? Don't murder. What do you mean, God? Don't, what? He annoys me. 10 things. I'm your God. And don't hurt your neighbors. That's it. And we fail miserably at this. That even in Proverbs chapter 6, it says this. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. We are so bad about keeping these 10 things that in Proverbs it even reminds us. No, keep it to yourself. Don't hurt one another. Don't go sleep with other people's wives. Jesus came to this earth to reconcile us with God, to bring us back to the garden, back how things are supposed to be, what our heart painfully yearned for. He gave us clues and commands how to love and how to treat one another. He even prayed Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he prayed for us. He says, this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By the way, God's name is not hallowed, okay? Hallowed means holy, all right? Holy is his name. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. This prayer is about us seeking God first and not hurting your neighbors. The same thing as the Ten Commandments. Seek God first and don't hurt our neighbors. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't hurt me. Yeah, don't hurt me. And the calling in our lives, and we struggle with this. What's God's calling in my life? What's God's calling in my life? The calling in your life is to live in such a way that whatever it is that you do, people experience what it should be like in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he said it was good. It was good. God created this. And he said it was good. And despite what's happening you see around the world, what happened in Israel when the news broke out on a Saturday morning, God created it. And he said, it's good. And he created us. And he says what? It's very good. And it's still good, and it's still very good. Even though sin separated us between us and God, and we live in a fallen world, and we know that. But I like to think that what God said when he created it, he says good and very good. So I still believe that creation is still good, and you are created very good. People are created with goodness in you. Inherently good. And that's like a big debate between theologians. Are people created inherently bad or inherently... I like to think God's word to us is that we're very good. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're still very good. Come on. You're still very good. And turn to your wife and say, you are still very good. You're welcome, guys. You're welcome. You're welcome. Tell me why I'm saying you're still very good. You're welcome. This brings me to Revelation. I want you to put aside every movie you've seen, every book you read that is fictional about heaven. The Left Behind series, some of you guys might have dabbled with that a little bit. In the 80s and 90s. Or your preconceived notion. Or what you might just heard about what someone say about heaven. Put all that aside. And let's see what the Bible say about heaven. And what God is going to do. Because you saw it in Genesis. What it's what's supposed to look like. And then at the end of Revelation. This is God's words. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. This is a language that gives us an idea that we are the bride of Christ, and God is going to come. Is a new Jerusalem, a new city, this new creation, this new you is going to come from God. And he says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is not something that God says, I'm going to take you out of the solar system, and I'm going to put you on the new planet. It's going to be a whole new city. No, this earth, this world that God created and said it was good, it is good, and he's going to make it good again. Back to what it's supposed to be. And it comes down to heaven, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. God made everything on this earth. Somehow, he made it back to the garden. The nation, in Revelation 21, verse 2, if the nation will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. There's a submission to God. No day will its gate ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22, at the very end, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down in the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healings of the nation. Does that remind you of Genesis? Yet no longer there'll be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign over forever and ever. When you read that, you read how Genesis gives us a picture of what heaven should look like. And then in Revelation, it replay the play, and it says that what was lost, God is going to make it, bring it, restore it back. So essentially, heaven, hear me out. Heaven is not a place we go. Heaven, it's where God is. Heaven, it's not somewhere we go. Heaven, it's where God is. And I don't know how he's going to work that out. But I know I'd rather be in the book of life and be where he is than somewhere else. Whatever outside of this gate is, no impure will enter into that gate. Whatever that looks like. But I want to be where God is. Heaven is restoring this earth back to the way God created and said it was good and very good. Someone asked me the question, say, hey, Newt, according to Revelation chapter 4, it seems like we just stood there and worshiped God all day and night, just singing hallelujah. That's a little boring, don't you think? That sounds, kind of boring. Like, why would I want to just stand there and sing day and night to God? Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Yeah. But there's a sense of worship, but also heaven, it seems like it's what we would experience, what Adam and Eve experienced in Genesis, where we walk, where we talk in the breeze of day. And we would see God, and God would see us. We would eat from the fruit. We would eat from the land. We would go hunting. We would go fishing. We would wave to our neighbors. So however that works, we would see what God has made, and it would be very good. And sometimes God gives us a glimpse of that now. Sometimes I see beautiful rainbows, as remind me that God's promise to earth that he will never destroy this earth by the flood again. And that, it's a glimpse of heaven. I see sometimes it's the sunrise or the sunsets, and I see you post pictures of it as well. And that, my friend, I see a glimpse of heaven. God is dropping these nuggets of truth into our lives. And sometimes you post pictures of mountains, beautiful mountains, the Smokies, or you might go hiking, or you travel around the world and you post these beautiful landscapes that I can only imagine I would see that when God restores us back to Genesis. And that is a glimpse of heaven. When people come together to meet each other's needs, to me that is a glimpse of heaven. It's in all of us. We were created, and God said it was very good. When a child is rescued, or someone comes out of addiction and walks away from the sinful life, to me that's heaven, a glimpse of heaven. When a single mom finds a way to put food on the table and get the kids ready for school, to me that is a glimpse of heaven. Because we are still very good. The way God tells us, I created you and I said, you are very, very good. So heaven is not where I go. God commanded all of us as Christians, heaven is where God is. And he gave us commands. And he says, I want you to live on earth as it is in heaven. Because the world will see heaven through whatever it is that you do. And they will experience that. And they said, I want to look forward to that. So heaven is not where we go. Heaven, it's where God is. When you find yourself getting dressed and get everyone else ready so you can go to church or go to school or put food on the table, when people encounter you and they say, you're giving me this? Don't you need it? No, I think you need it as well. Let me share with you. When you go out of your way to hi somebody, to say hello, to give them a hug, that's a glimpse of Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. And when Jesus returns, all the beautiful palm trees will be there. It will just be perfect. Oh, the beautiful sea will be there. It will just be crystal clear, like the rivers. There will be trees and fruit and fish and animals. It will be there. And those who hold on to the name of Jesus Christ will also be there where God is. Amen. Let's stand as the band come forward. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you wonder, why make it? You don't have to wonder, because God gave us a promise in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never been baptized, today could be your day. Today could be the day where you say, I'm done. I'm allowing God to restore me back to what I'm supposed to be. Yeah, you might fall short and you might struggle a little bit, but the promise is coming. The heaven will be restored and you will be back in the garden in the breeze of day with God. As our elders and their wives will be up here, if life has been hard on you a little bit, or the news in Israel might affect you and your family a little bit, our elders be up here to pray with you. But don't leave here today without making a decision for God. By way of this song of invitation, we're inviting you.